for the young people come and join us. You cannot be sad on a day like today, can you?
Johnny.
Not on Easter. It's a room. You guys match. How cool is that? It's good to see everyone. Oh, gotta turn off that phone. Either that or like, you needed to download like an Easter tune. Then we would have been up dancing. It's so good to see everybody here today. You know, we are talking about something very special this Easter Sunday. It's a very big word. And the word is resurrection. Can you say that word? Let's hear you say it. Resurrection. That's right. Does anybody know what resurrection means? It's a big word. You know what? You know? Surely you know. You don't know? Okay, well, be amazed, buddy. All right. You know. Okay, let's hear. Did it just leave you? It was on the tip of your tongue.
I only had a zero.
A zero. He's pulling a zero. Okay, well, let me tell you what resurrection means. Have any of you ever seen a flower that's outside in the fall, and then winter comes and it dies? Like it just dies back to, have you seen that? It dies back to the ground, doesn't it? And there's no life in there at all on top of the ground. And you just can't see anything. It's dead. We all know that it's dead, don't we? What happens come spring to a lot of those flowers? What? They start getting little green come out of it, and it's almost like they were dead and now they're alive again. What? Yes, that's true. Well, we talked about cherry blossoms a couple weeks ago, didn't we? But that's right. It's almost like it was dead, and now all of a sudden it was alive again. Well, you know what? That's what resurrection is. Only it isn't that it just appears that way. It truly is that way. Look at my face. Look at my face. Okay. Resurrection is when something really is dead, and then life comes back into it again. And that has happened one time in history. And that's why we're having such a big party today at church. Because that's the day we're celebrating today, and it was the day Jesus Christ was dead. And guess what happened? What? Well, this is the party. I know it's a big person's party, buddy. It'll get better when you get older. Especially when you get to be a deacon, you can change stuff around, okay? This is the part, yes, Jesus was dead, and then he was resurrected. And if Jesus was dead and he was resurrected, what did that mean Jesus was?
No.
What? Alive! Okay, go woo! Everybody, woo! Okay, everybody, woo! Okay, Jesus is alive. That's right, and that's what we're talking about. Now, today, I want to give you something that's going to remind you of that, but it's something, when Mrs. Fisher has something to do with stuff, you always know it's something cool, okay? But we're going to pray first, and then I'm going to tell you about what's going to remind you, because, listen, we don't have junior church today because Miss Holly thought you would want to be with your family today, okay? Because we have lots going on. Let's bow our heads and pray. Well, Father God, we thank you that in history, once someone died and was resurrected, and that means came back to life. And when he died, he took our sins with him. And when we claim him as Lord, we can live forever, and that's Jesus Christ. We pray that we would, when we know the difference between right and wrong, that we would claim Jesus as our Lord and Savior, so that we would always live in that resurrection power. And we pray it in his name. Amen. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Now, you know what? In some churches they say, can I get a witness? And then you say, amen. So we're going to practice that in the future. But listen, Mrs. Fisher wanted us to remember about the resurrection. And there is something that kind of shows us about resurrection that Miss that Mrs. Fluke always talks to us about the week after Easter, and that is butterflies. You know how butterflies have a cocoon, and then they, when they come out of their cocoon, they're butterflies. Mrs. Fisher, could you help me here? Mrs. Fisher has seen to it that you all have butterflies that you have on your wrist. They're little watches for you. And I think they're special crosses that Mrs. Fluke also has provided for you. Okay? So we thank all the saints and Christ. Now you're going to have to work on these when you go sit down and get right next to Miss Holly. Miss Holly, could you make for sure that they get their Easter crosses, please? You have to, I'm not telling. You have to open them up. You have to crack the egg. Okay, and for anyone who's technologically challenged, I have instructions. Okay, everybody get one.
I got a
mic. Can I hear a woo?
Woo!
Now I say to you this morning, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Oh, wow, we are learning. This is our fourth Easter together. We're learning. I am convinced. Yes, brother.
You didn't wave.
I think we're technologically challenged. Oh, okay. We are wave challenged, but that would have been good. Next Easter. If the Lord comes back, we'll be doing the wave in heaven, but next Easter we're doing the wave, and you will be leading it. Okay. I have faith that Christ was dead and he was buried. That I believe. But here's another thing I accept as true. He rose from the dead, and he will come again in glory. This is Easter. And to stand here on this day, in this pulpit, and proclaim this word, I cannot begin to tell you how this defines who I am. But you might wonder, how do I know the resurrection is real? Well, first of all, I have to tell you the reason I know the resurrection is real is because somebody told me about it. And you might say, well, that's not very reliable. Well, you might not think so. But the truth of the matter is that most of what we know is simply because someone told us about it. How do you know Columbus discovered America in 1492? Were you there? No, you weren't there. But there were people who were there who witnessed it and wrote about it, and that's how we know. How do you personally know that a man walked on the moon? Were you standing there when he was there on the moon? Well, you say, I know it because I saw it on TV. Well, there are people to this day who say that all of that was fake TV stuff, all studio done in Hollywood. Many of them would insist that even today, that the International Space Station is even a hoax. Now, we know that's crazy talk. But in reality, where we are right now, I can't prove it or disprove it anyway, and neither can you. In the end, I would have to say that I do believe a man has walked on the moon because a lot of people that I trust have told me about it. Now, we have far more historical evidence for the resurrection than we do for thousands of pieces of information that we routinely take as fact every day. And if we're going to stand on something, then why not stand on the historic testimony of countless people throughout the ages who have no reason to deceive us, no ulterior motive to tell us a lie, those who have declared the resurrection to be true. Now, when Mary went to the tomb on that first Easter morning, she was grief-stricken. Her master, her teacher, her friend, he was cruelly killed. All of what she had staked her life on was in question. And she stood at the entrance to this tomb, and she was just bawling her eyeballs out. And then she meets who she thinks is the gardener, and then the gardener calls her by name, Mary. And can you imagine the look on her face when she turns? It says she turns and looks. Do you remember what she said? She says one word, Rabboni. She yells, teacher. And from what John tells us in his gospel, she must have leaped into his arms. Jesus says, Don't hold on to me just yet. But I want you to listen to the next thing that Jesus tells Mary, because it's the job description for the church. He tells her, go to my brothers and tell them. Now, I want you to think about that for a moment. Because the reason that I believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ is because somebody told me about it. Now, I'm sure there are people that are plagued by the fact that they personally cannot prove that when Mary told the disciples, I have seen the Lord, she was telling the truth. There are people that probably are plagued by that. And I will give it to you, that cannot be proven. But the truth is that you will never have more proof than the testimony of first century people who were there. There are no photographs. The resurrection can't be proven in that way. But here's the deal. It can't be disproven either. And people have been trying to do that for 2,000 years. Now, the second reason I believe in the resurrection is that it has stood the test of time. Because a lot of things that start off good fizzle out. Do you remember the Macarena? Okay, that was a dance that needed to die. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
When I was young, except for Mike, he's still doing the Macarena. We will pray for you, Michelle. When I was young in the faith, when I was a new Christian, there was a Christian artist by the name of Carmen. It was all the rage. His song, Champion, still gives me goosebumps. Now, John and I had friends who were faithful churchgoers, and they wouldn't even consider the fact that their faith was empty. You see, they were going through the motions. You could see it in their lives. If you were blind, you could see it. There was no evidence of Holy Spirit regeneration going on in their lives. They had no peace. They had no abiding joy. They didn't even know if they were going to heaven or not. But they were in church every Sunday morning. And there were times why I wondered why. Well, we bought them, John and I bought them a Carmen CD. They went on vacation, and they listened, apparently, on the beach. I got this later. On the beach, they listened to this Carmen CD, and they listened to the song called This Blood's For You. The teenagers looked at me like, they have no idea who Carmen is. But anyway, the light came on in their lives. And they applied the blood of the Passover lamb to the door of their hearts, and they were free. They were free of every earthly care. And they have been on fire for the Lord ever since. And there is nothing that this world has been able to throw at them that has been able to shake their joy. Carmen changed millions of lives. And in our home and in countless other Christian homes, we will always honor his ministry, even though some of you have probably never heard of him. Fads come and go, but things that are worthwhile have staying power. Some songs come and go faster than you have time to even learn them. But think about the old hymn of the faith, Amazing Grace. Now, there is a song that has stood the test of time. John Newton, the infamous slaver, he was converted by John Wesley. He renounced his slave trading. He wrote the great hymn, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. Your great-grandparents sang that song. And long after you and I are gone, people are going to be singing that song. That song has resonated with millions upon millions of people for generations because it is the real thing, and it has stood the test of time. I know the resurrection is real because it has stood the test of time. It was not something here today and gone tomorrow. As long as there is life on this earth, people are going to be talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And third, I believe in the resurrection because I have experienced it. The first century disciples, you know, they didn't believe in the resurrection because they could explain it. They believed in the resurrection because they experienced it. One whom they had known in the flesh, who they had seen die, was now alive and with them. I have to tell you that there was a time in my life when I was a mess. There was no light at the end of the tunnel for me. I was clinically depressed. I was painfully shy. Now, okay, on the outside, my life looked just fine. But inside, I was hurt and broken and bitter. And on more than one occasion, I considered suicide as the only answer. And then somebody told me about Jesus. And I thought, yeah, right. That's what I thought. But finally, when there were no other places to turn for answers, I looked up and Jesus put my life together. That's how come I can stand up here every Sunday morning and tell you the truth. And the truth is that Jesus is the answer to every question in your life. I know it because I have lived it. I believe in the resurrection because I have lived it. The best proof of the resurrection is not what the witnesses said they saw, but in how they responded to what they saw. A frightened band of disciples huddled together in a house with the door barred. That's the scene before the resurrection. To a powerful band of mighty witnesses thrust out into the world. That's the scene after the resurrection. A broken and abused, cynical young woman who wouldn't even leave the house unless absolutely necessary before the resurrected Jesus. To a mildly obnoxious, bold, older woman pastor after the resurrection. Some of you might not even say mild. After the resurrected Jesus. It has been estimated that by the end of the first century, over 500,000 people had come under the Christian banner. A myth would have been debunked long before that. That's the power of the resurrection. The disciples believed so passionately in the resurrection that they were willing to put their lives on the line in order to tell others. They were resurrection people. The Apostle Paul wrote, "I have died to sin and have been raised with him. Now that's what I am talking about." The resurrection is a historical event. But you know, it has to become more than that for us. The resurrection is something very different than man landing on the moon. The resurrection is an ongoing event, an event shared by every generation. And more than that, it's an event that we are invited to participate in. We are supposed to become resurrection people. It will be then that we will be able to echo the words of Paul of the Philippians, "All I care to know is Christ and the power of resurrection," because Paul figured it out. That's when everything else in your life falls together. Do any of you remember the old saying, "The only difference between a grave and a rut are the dimensions"? Remember that saying? It's a folksy way of saying that the resurrection is not just for after we die. It's also for this life, now. So don't get in a rut and miss the impact of the resurrection. It is the power for living in these difficult days. We can sing the great hymns of Easter. We can hear the familiar accounts of Scripture. We can enjoy the Easter flowers and blow our noses later. We can join in the hallelujah chorus. You know, and yeah, we can enjoy Easter that way. But the real power of Easter is the way that your life can be moved from death to life. From the power of the sealed tomb to an open doorway. From deep despair to hope. From the old ways to new opportunities. That's Easter. That's the power of the resurrection, and it is for today. I believe in the resurrection because I have seen the God of the resurrection at work. I have seen the risen, that I've seen Christ raise people from the death of despair to the joy of a new life. I have seen the risen Christ raise me from the death of despair to the joy of new life. And that's Easter. The risen Lord comes back to life and he assures the disciples that they're forgiven. Think about it. You know, Peter denied his Lord 3 times. Thomas doubted. All the disciples had forsaken him. But Christ came back. He forgave them. And he resurrected them. He came back to share his resurrection power with them. And he has come back today, this morning, to share with you the joy and the encouragement and the forgiveness of Easter. You want to know why I believe in the resurrection? I believe it because somebody told me about it. I believe it because it has stood the test of time. But even more than all of that, I believe it because I have lived it. And I've seen it in the lives of others. It's why I can stand before you this morning and I can shout, Christ is risen!
He is risen indeed.
Amen. Let's bow our heads as we pray. Father God, you know the mess of our lives. You know everything. And we have tried to do it on our own, and we've done a poor job, and we have nowhere else to turn. This Easter morning, we turn to you. We accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And we don't want to just go through the motions anymore. We want him to be real in our lives. We accept his death on the cross as the death that we should suffer for our sins. And we accept his resurrection power as our own resurrection to a new life. We give you control because we know you'll do a better job than we have. And we trust you and we love you. Amen.